Hello, hello, and welcome to Self-Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I recapped my Portland to Coast relay adventure and gave you guys some fitness self-care tips. I had so much fun with my team Oreo Speedwagon. We had so much fun that we're already planning our adventures for next year. If you didn't get a chance, make sure you head over to our Facebook page to watch my pre-dawn fitness pep talk. I shared that over the weekend, and as always, you can catch any of the previous episodes of our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and from the website selfcaresexy.com. All right, I want to give you guys a preview, and holy S-word, you guys, this interview that I'm about to share with you is going to rock your world, and I hope you get as much wonderful information from it as I did. Now, I've listened to this specific interview several times now, and it's not just because I had to do it in the post-editing phase. I did it because there's just so much great content. This week, I'm introducing you to Anna Gascelli, the founder of Curvy Yoga. And we talk about it all. I mean, we talk about from yoga to body acceptance to what Anna shared with me, closet fits. I didn't even know these things existed, and I totally have them like every day, right? We even get into like intuitive eating and things like that. So it's a blast. I feel like we were soul sisters from the very beginning. I'm going to read her bio and get into our interview, but first, a few quick housekeeping notes. So number one, I want to let you guys know our monthly Self-Care is Sexy brunch is coming up on Sunday, September 25th. Make sure you like us on the Facebooks for all the details, but basically we get together, we talk self-care, and we check in with each other to see, you know, what's working and what's not. So if you're looking for some like in-person connection, this is definitely your chance. If you are not already a part of the community, make sure you hit me up via email and I will add you. My email is Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. All right, number two on our little housekeeping notes, I also want to send you guys a little reminder that we still have a passion planner, possibly with your name all over it. If you've not had a chance yet to listen to episode number 25 to learn how you can win one of these badass planners, head on over to the website and check out all the details. And last but not least, please, please, you guys, go rate this show on iTunes. I'm getting tons of feedback on SoundCloud where I pay to like host the show. But the iTunes is looking a little bleak out there. So help me out. Help me to spread this message of self-care and how important it is. Take the few minutes and rate the show. Okay, I got all of that out of the way. Now I want to read you the official bio for this week's guest. Anna Gascelli is the founder and CEO of Curvy Yoga, a training and inspiration porthole offering classes, workshops, teacher trainings, retreats, a virtual yoga studio, and lots of love and support to people of every shape and size all over the world. Anna is a writer, teacher, and a lifelong companion of women's empowerment and body acceptance. The co-editor of Yoga and Body Image, 25 personal stories about beauty, bravery, and loving your body, Anna has been featured online and in print at the New York Times, the Washington Post, Exo Jane, The Daily Love, MariaShriver.com, U.S. News, and World Report, Southern Living, Vogue Italia, Yoga International, Yoga Journal, and so much more. You can visit Anna at Curvy Yoga online at curvyyoga.com. All right, you guys, let's get into my interview with Anna Gascelli.
Anna, first of all, I want to take the time to thank you so much to join us today. And I know you have a packed schedule with so much going on. So welcome and thank you so much for being a part of the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me to be part of it.
I'm so excited. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about your journey and kind of how you came to creating this incredible resource of Curvy Yoga.
Sure. Hi, everybody. So I am the founder of Curvy Yoga, and that is body-affirming yoga for people of all shapes and sizes. And I started practicing yoga in the late 90s because I had chronic migraines, and I had been told that maybe I should try yoga and it could help. So very reluctantly and feeling like I would hate it, I tried a yoga VHS tape with Rodney Yee. If anybody's done any yoga tapes in the last 20 years, they've probably run across Rodney Yee. And I have to kind of like back up one step and say that I had, up until that point, never had a positive relationship with movement. So I had only ever like been on the treadmill, or I went to aerobics classes with my mom when I was in middle school. Everything wow. around that was always very oriented towards weight loss. So of course I never enjoyed movement because it was never fun. It was just for discipline and like, and burning calories. So when I came to yoga, because I was coming to it for the migraines, and because I had no expectation of liking it, I just was kind of like, okay, let's just see what this is. And right away, I really liked it. And, you know, I was so, so surprised. And I think it was that connection of breath and body, and that it was not really presented as a way to do or achieve anything necessarily, but to just kind of connect with your body, that made me be interested. So I was still at a place in my life where I was definitely like wanting to diet and lose weight and all that stuff. I practiced yoga in that sort of mind state for the next almost 10 years. And as I practiced, I was almost always the biggest person in the room. And I just kept feeling like, you know, there's so many instructions the teacher's giving that just are not, like, they don't make sense in my body. Like when the teacher would say something like, fold forward and let your belly touch your thighs, I would move like a centimeter and be like, done. So I just felt like, clearly there's something I'm missing here. And once I, you know, lose X amount of weight, then I will finally, quote unquote, get it. So along the way, I tallied up the number of diets I had been on and came up with a number of 65 different diets.
Wow.
And when I saw that number, it just was such, you know, you have those like really clarifying moments in life sometimes. And that was one of those moments where I just thought, this is it. Like, I have enough information. Clearly, these 65 different diets are not giving me what I want in my life. I have to find a different way. Like, diet 66 is not going to be the answer. Clearly.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, the first 65 didn't do it.
Right. Like, I think I've tried enough experiments, so I can, like, move on at this point. So I didn't really know what that meant. I just started exploring other options, and I happened into intuitive eating. I started working with a nutrition therapist who was really great. And of course, which is not surprising, I was completely disconnected from my own hunger. Like, I had long since outsourced that to diet. So I had no idea, like, when I was hungry or when I was full, unless I was at a very extreme of either of those. I didn't know how to move my body in a way that felt good for me. And so I just started to weave those things together in my own life, go to therapy, you know, read a bunch of books. And at some point in that process, while I was in a yoga class, I just had this moment where I thought, oh my gosh, maybe the problem I've had in yoga all along hasn't been my body, but just that my teachers don't know how to teach my body.
Hmm.
And so I started to just kind of learn more about teacher training, and that very quickly turned out to be true. That teachers were very rarely learning how to work with curvy bodies in their training. And so that inspired me to start Curvy Yoga, because I just felt like I could not be the only person on the face of this earth who was wanting information about how to practice yoga comfortably and safely in a curvy body, and who wanted to use yoga as a way to connect with, know, and accept their bodies. So that kind of is how Curvy Yoga came to be.
I love that you say that that's how it, that the purpose is to connect and know your body, because I feel like I have a similar story to you. And for me, I actually started out with Rodney Yee DVD, actually a videotape that I bought at like Goodwill, I think.
Yeah, that's about and where I got mine, yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that the purpose of curvy yoga is more about the connecting and being aware of your body, whereas I think generally people's perception of yoga is it's an exercise and it's,
right.
It's a workout, not so much the mindful connection to your body. So I love that that's a part of your mission and a part of what helped to found it. So did you go through like teacher training and decide, okay, this is it, I'm going to revolutionize basically the Western version of yoga and make it accessible for all body types?
Yes and no. So I did do a teacher training a couple over the years and knew that I wanted to share something like curvy yoga, but I definitely did not have a thought like I would like to revolutionize anything. I started off just feeling like, you know, I have been looking for a space where people were sharing their stories about wanting to connect with their body through the practice of yoga, and I was not finding that anywhere. And so finally I was just like, I guess I'll start sharing my own story. So that's how I started blogging, because I just thought like, oh, I'll enjoy it, and maybe I'll connect with like a handful of people or whatever. Same reason I started teaching yoga. I just thought, I'll just teach a local class. You know, I had a full-time job at the time that I enjoyed. I had no aspirations of starting a business or growing anything big. And what happened was, as I started teaching locally and as I started blogging, I just kept connecting with more and more people who were like, oh my gosh, I've been looking for this too. There was a lot of Me Too resonance going on.
Mm.
And as more people started coming to it, they started asking me for things. So they would say, oh, I really want to read your book. Oh, I really want to have a DVD. And I would just be like, who are you talking to? That's not me. I'm not that person. And the more those questions came in, the more I just felt like, well, if people need this, like, I want to provide it for them so that they can have it. And so curvy yoga has really grown through a community conversation and continues to be very driven by that, by what are people actually needing and how can I provide that myself. And then now we also have curvy yoga teachers all over the world, which has been a big part of my vision for getting the work out there, not just making it about me going a million places, but really mm-hmm. rooting it into local communities.
And getting it out there. So do
right.
you mind if I have a couple quick questions for you, just so that I can kind of get a baseline of what we're talking about here. Because
sure.
some of our listeners, you know, might not have any experience with yoga. But
yeah.
can you talk to me a little bit about what body positive yoga means or kind of what that encompasses?
Yeah. So the way that I think about it is that it is a yoga practice that it's helping you do exactly what you and I were just talking about, which is connect with and learn from your body. So when I started learning about body acceptance with my therapist and, you know, reading books, I kind of got it on an intellectual level. I understood, you know, all the different messages that we receive through society about how bodies have to be a certain way and that that's about selling products. Like, I got it on that level, but I didn't start to really get it in my own life in a way I could apply until I got it in my own body. Because the therapist would say, you know, oh, you know, notice what's happening in your body. And I'd be like, that's funny. Or the yoga teacher would say, hey, what's happening in your back foot? And I'm like, yoga teachers are adorable. They say so many crazy things that like don't mean anything. And then over time I realized like, oh, those words have a meaning. Like people are able to notice what's happening in their body. And yoga is really the place where I learned how to do that, where I learned how to communicate with my body, because the teacher is always asking you something. You know, what's happening with your breath? Notice what's happening here. Check on your alignment. And through that continued practice, which is another thing I love about yoga, the concept of practice, you can really start to know your own body. And so to me, that's what body positive yoga is coming to this place in your own body and life where you are conversant in the language of your own body and then better able to meet your own needs and desires both on and off the yoga mat. I think of the yoga mat as kind of a little lab where you get to learn those things and then you get to take them into your everyday life. And of course, you also get all the great benefits of the practice of yoga, stress reduction, movement in your body, feeling good, relaxation, all that great stuff. But I think that's what the kind of body positive angle adds onto it.
Oh, I love that so much. And you know what? It's you're absolutely right. It's been my experience as well that the yoga mat is this sort of weird laboratory experience where, you know, you take that hour or so of time that you're on that mat and, you know, your mind is trying to connect and you're trying and so much is happening and so many incredible, at least for me, incredible things happen in that little small space that transcend into my daily life as well. And I really hope that this curvy yoga movement continues to spread because, you know, I'm from a small little town where yoga was considered weird and like mm-hmm. hippy dippy and really kind of out of the norm. And so when I kind of made that decision, like to buy that VHS tape, I kind of had this, I would say, shame associated with it. And so if you think about, and then of course, being a bigger person myself, having all the shame of like, I would never go to a class. Because there was no way I wanted people to see me doing that. So that was really intense. So I love the fact that you pointed that out, that this it really is, our yoga mats are really these wonderful laboratories where we get to deal with so much different things and so many different things come up that would not come up if I was out, say, walking on the treadmill or you know, because you're doing such different movements and you're accessing such different parts of your body. One of the things I also noticed about your style of yoga versus, let's say, your traditional vinyasa flow type class is that I've noticed there's a lot of props in your yoga. And is that kind of on purpose? Did that kind of evolve or how did that become a part of the mix?
Yeah, I'm a really big believer in everyone finding the right version of the pose for them on that particular day. So it, you know, if there's one thing that really like gets under my skin is when people say, I just can't do that pose, or like a teacher, you know, wouldn't give me the information or whatever the case, that people feel like they can't do it. Because my impression, like my perspective is that there's always a way to find your own version. So that doesn't mean that you're going to just pop up into some, intense arm balance without ever trying yoga before. No, of course not. But you can start to find your own version and props are what make that available. So I also am a big believer in the yoga space being a place where people are encouraged to be in their own body and that it's not only okay, it's actually the only way it ever is, that everyone is doing something a little bit different. I think yoga is often presented as, here's the pose, we're all working to this ideal version of the pose. Maybe some of us aren't there, but like that's where we're all going. And my perspective is not that. My perspective is we're all finding our own way. And that's going to be a little bit different for each person, sometimes a lot different. And it's going to be different for us as individuals from day to day. I think that's such an important thing that we do not talk about enough as people is the body is always changing. So we have this desire to have a relationship with the body where it either never changes or it only changes in the specific way that like we approve of. but the body is always changing. That's what aging is, you know, injury, you're tired, whatever. And all of that shows up on the yoga mat. And it can be a time to berate yourself and tell yourself what a failure you are and how you used to be able to do this pose and now you can't anymore. Or it can be an opportunity to learn to practice grace and acceptance of what is, which is that the body is always changing. And being curious about that and really being like, oh, things are a bit different today. How can I meet that with kindness and acceptance? Because this is exactly what it means to be human. This isn't a sign of failure. And I mean, what a difference that can make in your everyday life when you start to bring that perspective into your life as well.
And you know what? That perspective that you're talking about, it is so, at least for me, it's so elusive because I always am like,
yeah.
Well, I can do it on this side, like if I'm doing, you know, a pose
right.
on the left side versus the right side. And it is so hard and challenging to really kind of retrain your mind to get away from, like, let's say, the sort of drill sergeant boot camp voice in your head that's like, you
right.
will get into this position, to, you know what, hey, maybe this side isn't able to do this today, or if that's so hard to do. Do you have any maybe tips or tricks that you can dispense upon us to try and get away from that? Because I do feel like that's one part of, at least my experience, it almost made me quit yoga. Because once I gained the courage to leave the comfort of my VHS in my living room to go try a class, I had such a negative experience because the entire time, you know, an hour of class of just like, I can't believe I can't do this, and all that negative inner self-talk. And even now that I'm a part of Curvy Yoga and I'm definitely moving away from that, I'm more inquisitive, but I'm definitely looking for tips and tricks on how do you get your mind to really be more able to accept what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this, I'm so glad you're bringing this up. So one of the ways I think yoga actually provides us an opportunity to explore this is because it's a practice and we're showing up for it on a regular basis. So I'm definitely not a teacher who's like, you should practice X amount of time for X minutes every week. No, that's not real life. But whatever regular means for you, you are doing it, you know, over time and you're starting to notice. So one of the things that's been really huge for me is starting to get to know my own patterns. So you mentioned one of yours, it sounds like, which is that drill sergeant voice.
Yeah.
Like, you should do this. Why can't you do that? I think we all have some version of that voice, whether it's like our mother or a past yoga teacher or middle school gym teacher or whatever it is that gets into our head. And what has been powerful for me is noticing, like, when specifically does that voice come up? So do you know, is it in like a particular pose, or if you're feeling a different way? Have you noticed that yourself?
I think for me that it mostly pops up, and if I'm going to be totally vulnerably honest, it's when
mm-hmm.
I'm in a pose and I look over, and even in my
yeah.
Curvy yoga class, there are some fitter bodies in my curvy yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the contrast. I love the variety. It's great. But I'll look over and then I'll see someone further in the bend, or I'll see them much more aligned than I feel. And so I
mm-hmm.
guess it's when I start to compare myself.
Yeah.
And that.
Oh my gosh,
something...
don't we all do that? I know.
I'll just like look over and see someone who's, you know, able to do a full triangle pose without, you know, without a block or without, you know, or they're able to, in my opinion, like get further into it. And then I'll
mm-hmm.
think to myself, like the first thought that happens is, why can't I do that? And
right.
then the next thought is like, oh my God, I'm a failure. I can't do that. And then it just
mm-hmm.
spirals into like horrible things you would never say to another human being, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally. I think we've all been there.
That is
so great that you see that, like, here's exactly when it's happening, because I think this is the point of liberation, is that you start to notice, you catch that thought more often when you notice your pattern. So now moving forward, maybe when you start to have that thought, why can't I do this, which you said is kind of the tip of the iceberg before you just slide straight down, then you can
yeah.
be like, oh, I'm having this thought again. How adorably human of me, number one. And then number two, like, developing your own tools that help you come back to your own experience. So it could be as simple and straightforward as stopping looking at that person next to you. You know, if you're noticing that it's happening through that comparison, then being like, oh, I need to get my eyes back, like, on my hand or wherever I am on my mat. Doing that first and then doing whatever supports you. So for some people that might be feeling your feet on the ground. It might be taking a deep breath. It might be an affirmation. You know, you might have a word or a phrase that you like to say to bring yourself back. But what I find is that when we catch that pattern and we shift it and we do that continually, it makes it easier and quicker to do it every single time that it happens in the future. So this isn't to say that you're never going to think that thought again. Of course, you probably will, you know, like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
but those thoughts come less often, and you're more just kind of like, oh, this is just a pattern I developed, and now I'm working on unraveling it. And the fact that it comes back up again is also not a sign of failure, because that's another way that we can be hard on ourselves, right? So we're like, well, I've already changed the pattern one time. Why would I need to do it again? Well, you know, how long have we spent building up these patterns? Like, a long time, usually.
Yeah.
So just, you know, even for myself, where I feel like I've been working on my body acceptance for what feels like a long time, when I look in comparison to the rest of my life, I'm like, it really hasn't been that long. So when those negative thoughts creep in, then I, instead of being like, oh my gosh, why did I even bother to try this? This is pointless, which is exactly how I felt at the beginning of my body acceptance journey. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, so this is coming up again. And then I do the things that support me. So if I'm not in a yoga context, like let's say that's in your closet. So, you know, sometimes you do go to put on all your, put on your clothes, and then somehow 5 minutes later, all your clothes are on the floor and you hate like, all of your clothes, and you also hate your life and your body.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm there like 90% of the weekdays.
Right. I refer to those as my closet fits. And this was a place that I really worked on this pattern recognition thing that I'm talking about, where I started to just get really curious. I think this is the root, which is getting curious about like what's happening here. And I noticed that on those closet fit days, I was already feeling like bad about my body or stressed or tired or just something was sort of out of whack in my internal equilibrium, or I had external stressors. And that when I came to the closet with that, like there was nowhere for that energy to go except into hating my body, because it was just like things are already hard and the way I'm going to off-put this energy is into this like negative spiral with my body because it's familiar to me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say I did any of that consciously or like as a good coping mechanism. It just sort of what happened, you know, and I think is how so many of these patterns develop. And so I started to change a few things, which is, you know, continuing to be curious and then starting to support myself. So if I knew, okay, I'm really stressed or I've already been feeling really bad about my body, I would start to like give myself a little mini pep talk before I even went into the closet. Like, it might be harder today. Just go ahead and know that. That's okay. You're going to know that before you go in there. And then I also, you know, again, like on the super practical level, like we talked about with the last example, I started to do things like notice, do the clothes in my closet even fit me? Do they even feel good?
Right.
And I got rid of a lot of different things. And now pretty much everything I have, I can put it on. It always feels good and comfortable to me. It's easy. Like, I'm not a high maintenance clothes person. And that, like, that happens so much less often because I did the practical side and then also that supported side. And then sometimes if I know like things are just really hard right now, I will just like pick out my clothes the night before or, you know, do something like that just to continue to make it simpler.
Yeah, a little easier on yourself. I love
that.
That's a great tip. I am totally writing that one down. So I have a question for you, Anna. I know that you do all these incredible workshops. You teach yoga. You are a writer. You're all of these incredible things. How do you get your self-care in? How do you take care of yourself when you're You know, you're running a pretty big company with a lot of, you know, a lot of demands on your time and a lot of deadlines, and I'm sure a lot of stress and pressure. So how are some ways that you take care of yourself in all of the busyness that is being this incredible curvy yoga guru?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is boundaries. So this has been very hard for me to learn. I will continue to learn this lesson my entire life. But when I started curvy yoga, you know, as you do when you're starting anything new, I was just going a million miles an hour. I was saying yes to everything. I had no available time. And after a few years of that, I burned out really hardcore. So at the beginning of 2015, so almost 2 years ago. And I had done that in the past in other careers and had felt at the time like, oh, it's just this job. Like, I need a different one. I need a different career path. And when I did it in my own business, I was just like, oh, I think the problem's me. I think I'm the one who's driving, you know, driving myself too hard. So I really had to stop and look at what is the intersection of what I feel really good and I feel is very important to have out in the world, where I feel like my skills are useful and that I can still live my life and have time for my self-care and my relationships. You know, at that same time, I started to think about, you know, if somebody asked me, like, what is most important to me in my life, I would say my relationship with my husband, my friends and family, and my own health and well-being. And when I looked at my everyday, like my schedule and all the things I had to do, I was like, where is the space for these things that are most important to me? I was like, There's no space for any of these things. So yeah. I was just like, I have to kind of wipe the slate clean. So the past couple of years have actually been so much less busy, and I really try to stay in this place of doing less and doing it better, which is what I focus on. And then I've been using that pattern thing we were just talking about to notice what actions do I need when. So, for example, anxiety is part of my life, and I notice that it has a physiological level where if I haven't been moving my body, then it builds up and it gets worse. And when it gets worse, I don't want to go do anything. Like, I want to just stay in bed or whatever. But then that energy just continues to build and build and build, and it becomes this really negative cycle. So once I started to notice that, I was like, oh, I have to go for a hike or go for a swim, which are two kinds of movements I enjoy, in addition to yoga, on a very regular basis. And I especially have to do that when I'm noticed that I'm feeling extra anxious. So this actually was just happening to me early this week. So it happens a lot for me in the summer because, like, it's already hot. There's already a lot of energy. It's just compounding what's happening in my own body, which is, like, naturally hot and naturally has a lot of energy. So it's, like, not the best season for me. So I was just like, oh, I don't feel like doing anything. I hate everyone. You know, you kind of get into that space. Like, I'm just worrying about every possible thing that could be happening on the face of this earth. And then I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, I have to get myself out of this house and go do something. So I went for a hike, and then the next day I went for a swim, and it's feeling kind of dialed down from there. So I feel like I don't have so much every single day things that I do for self-care. I'm trying to just notice every day, like, what do I need today? Some days it's this, some days it's that, and have, you know, a number of different tools in my toolbox, so to speak, so that I can use those. So I already mentioned some, and then also journaling helps me. Just having time by a body of water is helpful to me, like sitting by a lake. You know, I'm in Nashville, so I'm pretty landlocked, but we have a couple lakes that I can go and be by. You know, talking to important people in my life. Sometimes just having some alone time is enough. So just using those different tools when they're needed helps me a lot.
Such valuable information. And I want to point out, too, that one thing I noticed is that when you were talking about all the different tools that you have, one thing that keeps coming up is the word notice. And I think
I know.
It's perfect because it's really like I'm having sort of an aha moment talking with you today. I really am starting to understand, and I want to thank you very much for enlightening me on this, is that it's just as simple as noticing and just being aware of whether or not it's in your yoga practice, in your anxiety in life, in your prioritizing of your time, noticing and being aware, because I do think it's easy for all of us to just sort of go into autopilot and, you know, plow through our days, months, weeks, years, you know.
Right.
I really want to thank you for that tip. That is amazing. And I can't thank you enough for saying that, because it's truly, it's so simple.
Right.
And
it doesn't cost money. You don't have to go right. anywhere.
It's the best. Know. Oh, but it's a challenge. It's not easy. It's
Oh, for sure. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm on autopilot like 98% of the time.
Right.
But that 2% that the noticing comes in really can make a big difference. You're right.
I was just going to say, like, and I bet as we become better at the noticing and the awareness, I bet it'll get more and more and more easy and more sort of intuitive to go, oh, hey, wait a minute, I'm feeling anxious, time to go for a walk or buy some water, or hey, I'm really tired and I'm run down and I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off, I need a nap, you know, or whatever it might
be.
Oh my gosh, fabulous stuff. So, Anna, I got to ask you, you know, our listeners are going to want to definitely connect with you, and I know you've got a lot of great stuff coming up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your workshops and other events and how our listeners can get connected to you?
Yeah, I would love that. So really the best way, if you're a yoga student or you're wanting to become a yoga student, to get connected is through a local teacher. So we have a location finder on our website, so you can see if we have someone near you. And then also through our virtual studio. So on the virtual studio, we have, I think, 100+ practice videos on there now. So from 5 to 60 minutes in length. All kinds of great support, a wonderful community. We do all kinds of different things. Do a monthly podcast for that community. We do live classes. It's very affordable. It's just $20 a month, or there's an annual membership where it's you get 2 months free if you do the annual. So that's a great way, whether you're a brand new beginner or you have a regular practice and you just want to support it. And then for any teachers or people who want to become teachers who are listening, I do offer different kinds of training. So one for people who want to become teachers, and then continuing education for people who are already teachers, to bring these curvy tools into your classes that you're already teaching and or teach a class called Curvy Yoga. So people can find out all that information and much more. We have many free resources on the website, just at curvyyoga.com.
Awesome. I also noticed, too, that you've got an event coming up in November. I'm not sure how you say it. Is it Kripalu?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Kripalu. So that's a weekend workshop. Thanks for bringing that up. November 18th through 20th in Massachusetts. Kripalu is this great yoga center. So there are a number of different workshops going on any given weekend. And the focus there is about really exactly what we've been talking about. So I'll be teaching a lot of different curvy pose modifications there, so you can use that information and take it into any class that you go to. And then we'll also be talking about and practicing and discussing with each other, using yoga as a tool for body acceptance.
Oh, awesome. I love it. Well, Anna, thank you so, so very much for your time. Again, I know you're so incredibly busy and you're all over the place, but I have learned so much talking with you, and I'm so excited to share you and all your great resources with our listeners. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for a great conversation. Thanks for everybody listening.
Awesome.
Freaking amazeballs, just like awesome sauce all over the place with this lady. I loved her tips and tricks on how to connect with the body and how she talked about the yoga mat being a lab for experimenting. I love that. And the fact that there is always a way to find your vision. So much good stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You can check out Anna on her website. It's curvyyoga.com. And if you are here and local to the Portland area and want to see what this whole curvy yoga thing is all about, please come and join me with Heather Jones of Curvy Yoga PDX. She hosts classes every Tuesday and Thursday nights at Yoga on Yamhill. That's it for this week, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have a story you'd like to share and want to be on the show, please email me. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. Okay, we got some really great content coming your way, so make sure you stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.